Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to NS9 Live. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Tyler. Tyler, we don't have Jim.
Yeah, I think people are going to get a little tired of seeing my face here.
The very first comment was Jim.
Poor Jim. Under the weather.
Yeah. Sorry you couldn't be here.
Yeah.
But anyways, the show goes on, as always. Ty, you and I back again. Pirates had an off day today. That was good for them. Good for us. We got to take a step back as well. Let this simmer a little bit here. Not have to talk about any Pirates game today. They needed today to be off. But the good news from that is, like I said, we didn't have to talk about Pirates at all today. Nothing as far as game. We kind of just could sit back, talk about what we want to talk, kind of reevaluate this, you know, this week and such, as we're going to. But I think what we really, really, really want to talk about, Tyler, is a fella named Jared Jones. And I said it, I think, the last time I was on here, which might have been Starbucks. I can't get enough about Jared Jones. And like, he made another start against the Mets, you know, another solid lineup, another test for him. You and Jim had the post game. So like, if you guys watch right now, want to see Tyler and Jim, what they had to say about him and everything, like, definitely go ahead there too. But like,
yeah, man, like I had that post game where he threw 59 pitches and looked electric. I had the Starbucks on Monday, and now we can talk about him again. And even those last two shows, I don't feel like I really had to say enough about Jared Jones.
No,
because everything he has done to this point has been incredible. There's no other way to put it. I joked about it after his last start where he got pulled a little early. It literally is like Jacob DeGrom light. Like, everything about the stuff.
Stop it.
There's not another
comp because, man. I can't disagree with what you're saying, but Pirates fans don't have nice things. They don't have Jacob DeGroms. And the moment you feel like you have a Jacob DeGrom, they turn into something else. You know, like stop saying that because I'm afraid it's going to go away.
And I mean, for God's sake, Jacob DeGrom was like 27 when he broke out.
That's true. And like, another thing, like, Jared Jones is 22. This isn't as if like he, like, even 23. I mean, he's going to be 23 soonish, but he's 22 years old. This is the third prospect for the Pirates. Not the second, not the first. And it's funny is, you know, you talk about like DeGrom, like, I mean, a lot of comps been going to Spencer Strider, and similar to the sense, Jared Jones at least was a top prospect. Strider was never in like the top 100, and he came out and did what he did. And I think there's some differences there, but regardless, it doesn't matter. It's just like Jared Jones. He has just come on the scene, and like, as Jim said here, I don't think anyone in their wildest dreams thought he would be this good, because he is doing stuff that like no one has done before.
Oh no, he's been absolutely incredible. And I think what, at least to me, what's been impressive is that I didn't realize how well he could actually pitch. I knew he could throw. I knew his stuff was there. Everyone knew his stuff was there. He's becoming a pitcher. Actually, well beyond that. From what he's shown to this point, he is a pitcher. The way he's able to dice guys up too and command everything at this point, it's been unreal. Do you guys remember whenever, like, it was February and I made a little comment about maybe just calling Jared Jones up opening day? You never know what happens about rookie of the year.
Hold on. I don't want to alarm you. You have something on your wall behind you.
Mm-hmm.
You see it?
Yeah, I know that.
If you can turn around, look at it. Turn around right now. Yes, I wanted to pat you on your back, Tyler. Good job, bro.
Well, I was just pointing at the baseball up there because I know it.
You know ball. Right. I don't. I have albums behind me.
And you guys are. Yeah, I mean, I guess that wouldn't be bad if this goes wrong. I mean, like, Jared Jones is a thing.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
I know all you don't. It's fine.
What's up, Dean? I just, again, I don't want to overstate this. I know I've said this plenty of times, but in the past, Jared Jones has stuff. Jared Jones is interesting. Yeah, but Jared Jones walks a lot. Can Jared Jones go through a lineup? Can he, you know, the third time, even the second time almost, right? Like, how efficient can he be? Is this really a guy that's going to go like 4 1/3, maybe 5 innings, top out, have like a 4-something ERA and like 7 strikeouts, you know, or something, 5-6, you know? And just like you said, he is a pitcher. He is everything. The fact that Jared Jones has 2 walks on the season, I want to phrase this correctly because, again, there's numerous things that are amazing and numerous things that are shocking. So I don't want to say this is like the most shocking, but I think to me, in kind of evaluating that degree of Jared Jones, what stands out a lot too is that fact. He has only walked 2 batters this year. That's the one thing. Like, if you told me he'd have a 3.13 ERA after 4 starts, okay, I could believe that. You could tell me let me get the numbers here now. Sorry. What was it, 35? I forget now. 35 strikeouts, something like that.
Stupid amount.
But I could believe it. If you told me he would have 2 walks, I'd say no. Is he a reliever? Is that what happened? They put him in the bullpen? You know, like, to me, that's what's standing out a lot. The guy is not allowing base runners, point blank. I ran this. I honestly, Tyler, ran this so many times that night because I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. In the live ball era, nobody started their career. Not one. Let me take this back. 4 pitchers have started their career in their first 4 starts, at least making 20 innings, allowing 18 base runners or less. And Jared Jones is one of those 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know how many good pitchers there are in major leagues since the live ball era began?
A lot.
4 guys, and Jared Jones is one of them.
Yeah, man. It's also, you're waiting on the league to punch back on them. At some point, they're going to make an adjustment. I just kind of assumed it would have been by now. Because, you know, you get a few starts in, eventually it starts to dwindle down. It hasn't happened yet. Like, they still can't touch the fastball, and the slider's just unreal. And now that he only threw 2 of them, but he started to use a curveball a little more and using that more of a get me over type of pitch where he can get that first pitch strike and guys can't sit on that fastball. Like, if he's able to do that as well, the stuff he has, and there's multiple numbers out there that show how much better his stuff is this year than last year. But the stuff he has is just, it's great. I'm happy. Like, I'm happy we might have an arm here.
We might have 2, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So you bring up something, and I guess let me transition there a little bit, because there is some things I want to talk to you about specifically as well. Because kind of going back to the first thing you talked about, Tyler, pump your brakes, stop. I don't want this to go away. Stop talking so highly about him, right? The league should be adjusting. It's been 4 starts. I also don't want to just think like this is Jared Jones and he's going to be the best pitcher ever.
Right.
Now, granted, maybe he is, but I anticipate the league will start if they haven't already adjusted, right? Like, maybe the Mets have, but like you said, he's just too good. So I worry about a couple things. If there's going to be some critique and some things to, air quotes, worry about with Jared Jones right now, the 2 things that I kind of worry about is he basically is like exclusively fastball slider. He barely ever throws the changeup or the curveball. So that worries me a little bit. It can be done. Like, you can be effective, but that worries me a little bit. I know you've talked about that before. Yep. You did bring up the post game. So again, I'll allow you to talk about it a little bit here as well. But the other thing that kind of worries me, and it's like the opposite of what Jim said, like, he's finding out his stuff is so good, he's attacking. And I do appreciate that. However, he does throw a lot, just middle. And so far, I mean, guys haven't mostly connected. He has given up the long ball. And again, granted, there's not a whole lot of damage because he didn't allow base runners. But I feel like he just throws a lot right over the middle of the plate. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm waiting for the adjustments. I'm waiting to see what happens. Those are the two things that kind of stand on me right now that, again, I just kind of, okay, what's going to happen here?
No, I think that's a really good point. Like I said, waiting on the lead to punch back on him, but there aren't many guys that are fastball slider guys that are successful as starting pitchers. They at least have something else, and which is why I'm intrigued by the curveball, because when you're, I don't know, 98, 99 on the fastball, 90 on the slider, I'd like to see something else that can, you know, the curveball, for example, be able to be a get me over pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is maybe why I go right to Jacob DeGrom, aside from results. Jacob DeGrom, and you mentioned Spencer Strider, there's not many guys that get away with just having a fastball slider as a starting pitcher. There's not many guys that are really successful doing so. The other thing, you mentioned the middle that we're seeing a little bit. And we see the Tampa Bay Rays do that a lot too. And I think Pete Fairbanks talks about that quite a bit, where when he got there,
talking about the other things, but, like his quote last night.
But the Rays pitching coaches, they essentially tell you, throw the ball down the middle, trust your stuff. And I wonder if that's something that's been implemented with Jared Jones here, where just trust your stuff, stop trying to dot things on inside, outside, and locate so well. Throw it down the middle and trust it. So maybe that's something the Pirates are maybe leaning into with him. I don't know that to be a fact. I have no idea. Just something I know another major league team is doing. Right, but there's another major league team doing something like that, where they're just having their guys that have elite stuff throw the ball down the middle and let it work. And obviously, when you're trying to throw the ball down the middle, you're not always going to throw the ball down the middle. You're usually not. But
right.
I wonder if maybe that's what's happening with Jared Jones here, whether that be Pirates related or just him saying, screw it, I have really good stuff, I'm throwing strikes.
That's absolutely fair. And this isn't me critiquing, saying like, okay, don't believe this because he throws down the middle. It's just, again, like there's two things that I am seeing. So is Lee going to adjust? Are we going to see something here? But like what you say makes a lot of sense. And again, like you see that four seamer. That's, mm-hmm. that's hard to hit. And we see how hard it is to hit. So the pro and con of that. So like maybe it does hit a little bit more than you would like to see, but maybe the fact that he is throwing it down the middle is what's eliminating him walking people, which I don't want to say was a struggle, but there was like, you know, a little, like he walks a little bit more than you'd want to see. But again, it wasn't like it was egregious. Not like he's walking like 5 per 9. It was like, you know, the higher 3s per 9 or something,
but
you can live with.
But that goes back to what we were talking about in the offseason about Jared Jones and the efficiency of him and him throwing less than 5 innings per start in the minors. Some of that Pirate related and trying to limit innings, but a lot of it was efficiency issues. And we're not seeing that at this point.
No. We saw like the most efficient game we've ever seen in our lives. And it got cut short.
Right.
Yeah. And again, all good stuff. All good stuff. Again, like I'm like you, waiting for the adjustment, waiting to see how that goes. And honestly, as ironic as it sounds, I am waiting for him to have a bad game.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to say it's a test, but like that kind of is next thing. Like he's just been, he hasn't been tested yet. You know, I guess the second game was probably the closest you can come to where like he wasn't really feeling the fastball and he went very slider heavy and such. And he got through it. He got through it. He didn't have his best stuff per se. And he got through it and pitched very effective still. But like, I am waiting for that one game where he just gets, he gets hit.
Yeah. It's going to happen
as a bad game, right? What adjustment comes from that? You know, who are you at that point of time?
Right.
But again, like the things I love to see out of him, and like I was talking about, maybe it's just him and not the punch philosophy about down the middle, is just, again, like his mindset, I absolutely love. He has the mindset of a reliever and he's a starting pitcher. He just goes out there and says, I am going to give you my best stuff and I dare you to hit it. You're not going to. You're not going to. So here it is. Hit it. And then there it goes. They don't hit it.
Yeah.
And yeah, if they do.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, like, if they do, or like he throws a bad pitch, like he is upset. He wants to win every single pitch. And again, he doesn't implode. He has this mentality throughout. And I just love him as a competitor.
Yeah. It's like a flip of the mind there where you just say, you know what? I'm better than these guys. And it's really what we talked about with Mitch Keller for so long. Like, you know, your stuff is really good. We saw Mitch Keller just tinkling with this, tweaking this. Eventually, just trust your stuff and let it work. And we're seeing Jared Jones do that to this point.
At 22 years old for the first time in the majors. Again.
Yeah, maybe that just works for him because he's so young. He has no idea that he shouldn't be this good.
Maybe that's what it is.
Like, you're a Pirates pitcher. You're not supposed to be this good, DeSean.
No. No, but like in reality, too, any pitcher is not supposed to be this good. So just like, I mean, be happy. I'm tuned in every time Jared Jones starts. I can't see like what's going to happen next time, what streak he's going to create, what's going to do next that no one's done before type of stuff. Cause that is what he is doing now. That's why I think I put this in the details of the show or something somewhere, but like he has been good and it's been known how good he's been. And somehow I still feel like we aren't appreciating how good Jared Jones has been. And I'm not trying to pump him up, hype him, like, what we have so far, these four games, and I'm not sure we actually even appreciate how good these four games have been.
No, we don't. Because, I mean, you look at, even before his last start, I think he had a 4 ERA, which it's fine. But you also, if you watch the games, you saw that he gave up runs later in the game when maybe Derek Shelton should have pulled him, and we talked about it on the post-game show, but there were spots where maybe you pull him early and make him feel good about the start. And I don't know that I agree with how they've managed them at this point, but I can't disagree with the results.
Yeah. And I honestly think too, and it's just going to be part of his game, but I mean, it's at that point, it was only 3 starts. So numbers can be inflated each and every way. I thought he pitched much better than what his ERA showed. And, you know, right now it's at a 3.13. It's, I feel like it's lining up closely to like how he's looked so far, but you know, you like you make one mistake and you get the home run out of it.
Yeah.
Like the home runs have been like the problem for him. He was averaging 2/9, you know, that sense. But like, I feel like it was like, he had like 5 mistakes over the whole season and 4 of them ended up being home runs.
Yeah. But like it felt like, and their stuff is not anywhere similar, but like JT Brubaker's rookie year where he was just K-ing guys left and right, but his ERA was like 4.5. He had like a 9 K rate and like a 2 walk rate, and it just didn't add up on how he was struggling so much, other than the fact that he just gave up the long ball way too often.
And at least like that was a sample size of a year, which still, like, right, to your point, is correct.
I'm a Pirates fan. I'm built to look at the negative.
Right. Except when you call him Jacob deGrom.
Well, yeah, like he's Jacob DeGrom. Like, he's going to be the best pitcher in baseball very soon.
Right. But anyways, yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, it was three games. The home runs probably out of line. Like, I'm sure he's not going to average that many per nine, per se. But again, you know, like, you saw the Mets game. No home runs allowed. Mm-hmm. Hardly any base runners, like, at all allowed. Things are normalizing a bit. So again, I just, nothing but appreciation for Jared Jones. I want to continue to see this kid pitch.
I wish he could throw every day.
We probably should move on.
I just wish he could throw every day.
Maybe we'll have like a Discord, like we'll have up with a Discord channel for like 4 hours and just salivate about Jared Jones later.
Can we actually do like any game day or any like MVP members? Can we just do it on Jared Jones starts? That's it.
There it is. We'll have like an NS9. We'll have like an NS9 post game after dark. Where after his game, we do our post game. We just hop on there and we just talk Jared Jones, and you know, we leave our wives and our girlfriends and just talk about Jared Jones. How's that?
Yeah, like we'll count the chest hair. We'll do it all.
Yeah. Stephanie can come too.
Yeah, why not?
With that said, though, it's a good just bring up here. So if you're watching, you don't know, which you should know because we posted it in the community for YouTube and Discord. But we do have our next NS9. What are you even calling that? I guess watch party. So April 29th against the A's, all our MVP members, we're going to hop on into the Zoom call, and I'll watch the game together. So we'll have it on the Zoom, all hang out, have a good time. Maybe the 29th Jared Jones starts. I don't even know who's scheduled. Maybe we fall in luck and that is a Jared Jones start and we all get to watch it together. But I mean, with that said, you know, if you aren't, right, you can go ahead and hit that join button right below. We have those three tiers. MVP gets a lot of cool perks and such as well. But yeah, so that's what we're going to do for MVP members. We already had a giveaway this month. We'll have the watch party on the 29th. We will have a game day coming soon. I think we're going to try to plan that. It's not set in stone yet, but I think a little behind the scenes, I think we're trying to coordinate if Paul Skeens is going to make this debut soon. Maybe we'll have the game day that day. Could we transition a little bit to that too?
Yeah, let's just go with Paul Skeens.
We talked to Jared Jones. Paul Skeens made his start today. 65 pitches, so 10 more than last week. It's ramping up, even though it was still like 3.1 innings. He struck out 8 guys, Tyler.
Yeah.
He struck out 8 guys.
Mm-hmm.
3 innings. 65 pitches.
Yeah, and he had Grandal behind the plate as well.
Yeah. Might be his personal catcher. Who knows?
Yeah, that was interesting. But I thought the stuff is magnificent. Like, there's no denying the stuff of Paul Skeens. The guy throws 102, for God's sake. The slider wipes people out. And my God, the changeup today. The way he was able to use it, he went down and away with it so many times. The horizontal movement, it's stupid.
Tyler, he averages 100.5 miles an hour. We are not talking about the guy that hit that maxed out at 100, which, by the way, apparently Bubba Chandler did today, which everyone went crazy over, which also, if that happened and like that is something to be excited about. But again, we aren't talking about, oh my God, he hit 100. We are talking about this guy is sitting at over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's silly. I don't want to be negative here because I'm really not negative on Paul Skeens at all. I think the dude's a stud. He threw too many pitches today. Way too many. He got through 3. I think he threw, 65 around there? Way too many. Just way too many. He had way too many 0-2 counts, way too many 0-2 counts that turned into 3-2 counts, way too many 3-0 counts that he had to work back in. Here's where I think Paul Skeens' next step is going to happen, and really he's not going to learn this at AAA. The AAA is just to build the innings up and build the pitch count up. When you throw 102, it doesn't matter. He has to have an out pitch. At some point, he's going to have to find a way to Ray Searage it and get a guy out with three pitches or less, because every out cannot be a strikeout. He's got to find a way to get some weak contact. The balls that are put in play hard. He's got to find a way to maneuver this so that he can go to something and be able to get a ground ball here and there. That's the next step to me in Paul Skene's learning curve.
I think it's a fair critique. And I do agree with that. I mean, the one that jumps out to me is Max Kepler. He had him at 0-2, ended up walking him. Yep. And then he ended the game with a four balls. He walked, he got a ground out, and then four straight balls to walk the next guy. And that's when they pulled him. He had 65 pitches. So I think that was absolutely accurate for today as an assessment. We know he's a strikeout thrower, but .102 isn't completely abnormal for major leagues. Still, it's still tough to hit. Like, I'm not minimizing it, right? But when like these double A players, right, and maybe not triple A now, are seeing it, they're baffled. But you know, when you hit the majors, they've seen this before. Still hard to hit. It's not going to be easy. So like what you're saying makes a whole lot of sense too. You're going to have to find a way to get that out also. And that's a good assessment. Today wasn't that efficient, but what I also said was today with him throwing those innings, 65 pitches and having 8 strikeouts just made you appreciate Jared Jones' outing even more because Jared Jones struck out 7-5 and had 59 pitches.
Mm-hmm. No, and I'm completely okay with what the Pirates are doing with Paul Skene right now. Let him just work as him. I just feel like at some point when he gets to that major league level, you're not going to be able to blow 100 past everybody. Right. Like we see with the Royals Chapman, and he's a reliever, and he does it for one inning. Every now and then, you're going to get banged up a little bit. You can't strike out 20 guys a game. You got to find a way to get outs another way.
Kerry Wood can.
Well, you can't do it every game, and Kerry Wood didn't either. Like, at some point,
his career didn't last too long either.
Yeah. But at some point, you got to be able to get an out with your fielders. You can't do everything yourself. And it's, I'm not critiquing Paul Skene's here. I think he is generational. It's just that there's another step that I think he needs to conquer, and it's not going to be conquered till we get to the major league level, because that's when it's going to have to be figured out. At this point, he's just going to overpower these fellows.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair too. And again, it goes in line. Again, like these guys to hit 102, they're just not going to do it. But in the majors, they've seen it before. So it's the same sense like with O'Neill Cruz, right? Like he's not going to master that curveball until he gets to the majors. So Paul Skene could have some struggles. Now he might not, right? Or his struggles might be that, okay, he's given up 3 earned runs today because he's so good and such. But yeah, also why we're big proponents of get the guys to the majors, because there's still development to be learned there, and let them struggle there. Let them do it. Let them learn. Cool. But again, though, I am just with the development of Jared Jones right now. And we liked Paul Skene's. We felt we knew what he was. But now you're kind of seeing it in place right now, too, in AAA. And I think you said it on last week's show. But if not, someone did. Like, you never saw Gerrit Cole do this in AAA. You know, like, we haven't seen any of the good pitchers do what he's doing. So, like, what he's doing is ridiculous. And I think it translates to the major leagues. And you might have Jared Jones and Paul Skene's on the same team in this same rotation soon. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And again, this is more to the fact of what we've now seen in the development of Jared Jones to allow this to happen. But like Jared Jones is looking every bit of an ace.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Skene's isn't here yet, which is ironic that we're saying this. I'm trying to go back to where I saw the comment, but like someone did ask, and like you could argue right now, is Jones going to be better than Skene's?
I don't know if I'm going there yet.
Right.
Like the stuff Paul Skeens possesses is just unreal. He's effortless with everything he does on the mound. I'm just waiting on the other shoe to drop here. And really with Paul Skeens, I need to see him get through a lineup like a third time here. Yeah. Like at some point here, we got to see that. And that's going to be the next test that the Pirates are going to put him through at some point here, whenever that is. But efficiency's got to be worked out a little bit. And also, he's got to work through a lineup multiple times. Aside from that, like, he's electric. He'll give you four shutout innings probably all the time. But you need that fifth and sixth.
Yep.
And seventh, eighth, ninth, every now and then.
Right. And he's definitely a guy that can do that.
Yeah.
So, again, I know, like, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but sometimes it's nice to kind of just do that, especially when you're a Pirates fan and there's been a lot of losing seasons behind us, and maybe this uh-huh. is going to be the first time where there's a winning season in some time. Right? There's maybe some hope here, and a lot of that hope kind of lays on the arms of Paul Skeens and Jared Jones. So again, like, there's some excitement there, and it's nice to maybe take a step back and just be hopeful. Just think of the what ifs. And that's where I'm at right now. Like, what if Jared Jones and Paul Skeens are every bit this good? I talked, you know, before I get into this, I do want to just mention here as well, like, Dean, like, appreciate, new member here. Appreciate you joining, Dean.
Thanks a lot.
We'll get you all set up with all the perks here shortly, but yeah, like I presented this question to Jim, I think, just the other night, just when we were talking. I think we talked maybe 2 years ago, really, like, I guess not this time. We probably talked about this 22 months ago with the development of Mitch Keller and how he turned into being a decent pitcher, a good pitcher, right? Did that maybe change the direction of this rebuild? Because there wasn't a whole lot of arms in this system. We were unsure about the development. Like, what's going to happen here? With Mitch Keller becoming good, does that kind of change the direction of this rebuild? My question to you is, if the answer to that was yes, is Jared Jones a bigger change of direction in this rebuild than Mitch Keller ever was in his development?
So I don't know if the Mitch Keller success really changed the direction of the rebuild, because I think that they were going to have to go after pitchers no matter what, because they had nothing. And eventually we were going to get to that point. Jared Jones was he a Neil Huntington draft pick, or was he in Sherrington? I can't remember. He was Sherrington. Okay. Was he a two-way player for some reason? Why am I thinking that? Am I just crazy here? Someone fact check me on that. I feel like he was a two-way at one point. Anyhow.
Bucko Mike will be the judge of that.
Yeah. Bucko Mike, judge me on that. I could be wrong. I don't know that Mitch Keller really changed the direction, but okay. Jim said he was in high school, and I feel like there was a talks about him being both ways. Anywho. I don't know that it really changed the direction of maybe the thought process or change anything with the rebuild, because at some point they were going to have to get some pitching in the drafts. But it certainly sped it up. Mitch Keller did, because you had an arm that you really could lock down, because he wasn't good. And he's not to the level that you cannot lock him up, but he's good. And maybe that sped it up a touch, because if Mitch Keller doesn't work out and he just goes on the toilet, I don't know where we're at right now. I don't know where the thought process of the front office goes, where we have nothing here. The bats are maybe 2-3 years away. I mean, it could have, but I don't know that like really sped it up at all, because there were multiple times that we felt like it could have been sped up a lot quicker.
Yeah. And that's fair.
I feel like the rebuild got sped up whenever Henry Davis got drafted. Because that was maybe a sign that we're taking a guy that's close. and it could even be before him with Nick Gonzalez, but probably not. But I feel like that was the moment where it was like, okay, we're like a year or two away from the rebuild being over. Now, granted, I don't know if the rebuild's over yet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like my take on this was the fact that Mitch Keller developed me in a good pitcher. Because, again, at that time, there was nothing, like absolutely nothing that was close, right? So the fact that Mitch Keller is a good pitcher now, maybe don't need as many arms. Like, he's there. You can maybe start building this rotation out. But with, like, this potential development of Jared Jones, I think it's such a game changer right now, because the fact that the reason you draft Paul Skeens over Dylan Cruz, there's a big debate last year that I felt like we all just kind of like went back and forth with. And I think ultimately, like, we wanted Cruz, but you'd be perfectly okay with Skeens. Mm-hmm. And then Skeens is drafted and you really talk yourself to them. And the difference is, like, Skeens can go out there and win you a series. Mm-hmm. Where Cruz is going to be one of nine, you know, Skeens can do that. And that makes sense. Of course, you got to be good enough to get to the playoffs, right? But Skeens in the playoffs can win that for you. And the only way to get those type of pitchers is to draft them, because the Pirates aren't going to dish out $300 million plus or $1 billion these days to get like a true ace, right? So like the only mm-hmm. way to get them, that's the argument. The only way to get that type of pitcher is to draft them. So mm-hmm. they went and got Paul Skeens. Best guys in Strasburg, right? But again, like, you're talking about an organization that had a Gerrit Cole. You know, and we've seen Gerrit Cole. We saw what that type of pitcher can do. So we got our Gerrit Cole all over again in Paul Skeens. There is real potential that this team has like two of those guys.
Yeah.
Never did you ever anticipate like that to be a thing. It's okay. You finally got one. We're going to be okay with not having an ace at all. If you can just kind of do what like those years did, like, and this isn't like to minimize what Gerrit Cole did. You saw how he was unlocked later, and you wish you would have saw more of that with the Pirates. He was still a good pitcher. But like what the Pirates did there was like kind of piece these good guys and had like a solid rotation and all. But of course, the bullpen did a lot of damage, right? But like it was a good rotation, but it was never like dudes. Paul Skeens gives you a dude, and now there's potential that you have two legit dudes in this rotation. And I don't know. Again, like, I don't know what to do with myself.
Right. Like, and we saw it through the wild card rounds. Like, you need a dude. At some point, you got to have a dude. We've made jokes before. Like, I'd be happy with five JT Brubakers because they're effective major league pitchers. And you know they're going to give you five effective innings at least. But when you get to the playoffs, you need a dude. Now we're in a position where Mitch Keller, who we thought might be the dude, is like your third arm, possibly. How much better does that make you feel?
Now, could be the fourth.
Yeah. No. I don't know who the third would be there.
Bubba Chandler?
Yeah, I'm not going that far.
I know you have some reservations, but I'm just saying, and that's way in advance. But I am just saying too, like, there are some arms. That's Harrington. Like, there are some arms in this system that's getting closer.
And but regardless, just of where I feel right now about the future rotation, just 2 years ago, Luis Ortiz came in and was pumping 99 to 100, and I finally felt good about an arm in the future rotation, and that kind of went to poo. I feel a lot better right now. And even just looking back at like Johan Oviedo, a guy that we all expect to be a number two on this roster.
Forgot about him.
If you can bump Oviedo to being a number five and he can give you anything close to what he gave you last year, my God, are you happy with that?
I've totally just dropped him from my mind. Like that holy hell. I'm thinking future. Like Mitch Keller, there's Bubba coming up, there's Salamedo, there's Harrington. Like, there's all these guys coming up. There's still Johan Oviedo, who showed all the reasons last year that he could be a good pitcher. He puts it all together, which you see the talent there.
And you bump him to like your fifth guy. Those like three inning starts, you live with a lot more often. And then those seven inning, no hit ball, close to no hit ball type of outings, like you're in great shape. Like the pitching staff finally is starting to come together, I think.
Yes. Yep. And that's kind of what I'm getting to with the whole Jared Jones thing. It's just like this rotation has looked to, they could maybe get themselves back to like a 13, 14, 15 look to it, right? Where it's like you have five guys that all are good enough. And there's this gameplay they put together to, you know, maximize their talents and whatnot to, I'm sorry, this is a little bit of a hopium show, so whatever. But to like, this is the Nationals where like there's potential of like this Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg as your one and two. And then like a Jordan Zimmermann, like Mitch Keller, number three type. Like that's like there's one, two, three that the potential again of this rotation you're seeing. There was never that thought process of the Pirates having the potential of that in the rotation. And right now, I think you can say there is potential in that. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that potential is now something that I do believe exists.
I think
how did we get here?
I think at the end of the day, you look at it and you at least one through three, probably next year, you look at it and a lot will shake out. But if Jones, Skeens, and Keller are your top three here, you go from having in what you just said, where like 2015, where the Pirates team had a bunch of effective arms, but you go from maybe three arms that you know will keep you in a ball game to three arms that you expect to win that game.
Yeah. That's a huge difference. That's a huge difference. Like, especially if you have
Skeens, Jones, like Keller, this, and they are pitching like they can. Those are three games out of your five starting pitchers that you expect to win those games.
100%.
It's a difference maker.
100%. Yep. Yep. I'm sorry. Like, I am getting excited. And it's so much because of Jared Jones right now. So much because of Jones. He is just making the missing such piece. A difference to this rotation.
Like he's the missing piece of this rotation. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about Skeens, Keller. Oviedo kind of got pushed into that mix, I think, probably because he was the only option we really thought of. But Jared Jones is just electric.
Yeah, and as Jim says, and he's the only pitcher with a sub 500 record. Yeah. Man, after a terrible week the Pirates had, who would have thought we'd have talked 43 minutes of just excitement?
Yeah, I mean, I get told I'm too negative. Might as well be a little positive.
Well, you know, the problem is Jim brings us down.
Yeah.
Nobody knows this, but seeing, like, if you just have to deal with just seeing Jim's face day in and day out, you know, you just get negative. So we didn't have to today. So I'm in good spirits. You're in good spirits. We're having a good show. So let's transition to tomorrow. But no. Yeah. Hey, you know, Marco Gonzalez does get injured. We still don't know really how bad this is. This was one of the things that, you know, made us uneasy about this offseason, though. And again, Jared Jones solves a lot of this right now. But, you know, the biggest problem I thought this offseason was there's guys, and like, we like Marco Gonzalez, we like Martin Perez. You know, like, in a vacuum, we like the guys. But to us, there's just still a lot of risk, right? This rotation still seems like it could get exposed because you don't know the health of Marco Gonzalez. You don't know how well Martin Perez is going to hold up and be effective for a whole year and such. And you know, here we are. Marco Gonzalez already down. Again, we don't know the severity of it yet, but he's on the 15-day IL. We're unsure what they were going to do. They came out and said they're unsure what they're going to do. They might just go ahead and just continue with the rotation they have in place. There was an off day today, so you could just continue it, right? They could do like a bullpen day or they could call someone up. Well, we got an answer. They're calling up Quinn Priester. He's starting tomorrow against the Red Sox. Tyler, I mean, I guess just thoughts on that in general.
I'm weirdly excited, man. Like, I've been a Quinn Priester fan for a long time. last year, obviously, like everything he showed didn't look like a major league pitcher. He was way too hittable. Contact rate was way too high. He didn't miss enough bats. The walk rate, everything about what he showed you last year was awful. Going in spring training, interested in him. I think we saw the velocity spike a little bit. Like, he's not a flamethrower. He's the guy you got to teach how to pitch. And I think the stuff that he has shown, there's something you can mold there. I don't know if I really expect something outrageous out of Quinn Priester, but I do think, put me on the record here, I think Quinn Priester's going to put together maybe two or three really good starts in a row. Then we might see him fall off a little bit and go back to earth. But
Tyler's like, I've seen this before.
I really do feel like tomorrow Quinn Priester is going to be really good.
Okay. Well, that'll be good. The Pirates could use a W.
That's where I'm at with him. I feel like we're going to get a few good starts. Lee's going to punch back. Then we'll find out who Quinn Priester is this year. There's a car honking close to me, like it's the alarm's going off. It better not be my truck or someone's getting shot. Well, we're good. Sounds like it's coming on my left ear. I'm parked back there. We're good.
All right. With that said, I will say this. Quinn Priester showed signs of improvement in spring, but he also showed signs of what holds him back from being a better pitcher. So, like, I guess at least there were signs there's some improvement. Mm-hmm. And so far in AAA, I think we have seen some improvement. Now, granted, lineups that he's faced, it's not like they're that challenging, especially the first one. But, you know, the strikeouts are up. The ERA is manageable. You know, like, the fastball looks a little bit better. The velocity's up a bit.
Strikeouts being up is a little bit of an understatement. Like, they're up.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly are. And again, that first game, he struck out a ton. And I think his last game, he had 4 innings, 8 strikeouts. I mean, they're up there. Again, I question, how was the talent really that I was facing in those? Yeah. Right. And now, again, you're going against the Red Sox now. But granted, right, there's improvement. And we keep talking. Like, you want to see these guys go to the majors. They're going to struggle. Struggling is good, right? You find out your flaws. You work on it. You improve, right? I don't know what to expect. I will say I feel better about Quinn Priester this year than I did last year, you know, especially how it ended. But I still question how effective he'll be as a starter. So I think tomorrow is, like, I don't want to say a test. This isn't like the end all be all, but it's a test for him. And we don't know how long he's going to have this test for. A lot depends on, like, Marco Gonzalez's injury, but he could be here for a bit of time, especially until Paul Skeens comes up. So, you know, like, if Marco's out for a bit, Priester probably has like 2, maybe 3 starts ahead of him, mm-hmm. You know, like almost guaranteed, unless something else happens, he's probably being sent down again for Paul Skeens. So, and with that being said, you see this rotation. We're talking about all the guys that are currently here, all the prospects that are making the way up. Like, it is kind of do or die time for Quinn Priester, because he very quickly could find himself as like an odd man out of the future plans here. So, like, again, I don't know what to really expect from him. I feel better about him, but like, this is, I want to say there's so much pressure on it. Like I said, it's not like do or die for him, but a lot's kind of riding on Quinn Priester right now. He's going to have to start showing something in the major leagues.
Oh, he definitely does. And I think maybe a little bit of encouragement here is that it feels like the Pirates believe in him a little more this year, because they do have other options. Like, they could just go or Ortiz, or they could go Contreras there. Last year, we saw them go Beto over him. Osvaldo Beto, who is an absolutely god-awful baseball player in general. He's terrible. They're going to Priester early. Maybe they saw a little bit in spring that maybe he competed a little bit more for that fifth spot that ended up going Jared Jones, which rightfully so did, but maybe they saw something out of him that they liked a little more here. And I think I saw a little more out of him in spring that I liked, but
yeah,
I'm excited to see Quinn. Oh yeah. Osvaldo Beto was terrible. Dog shit. Don't want to watch him pitch ever.
Even Oakland doesn't want him anymore.
No, he's terrible.
Yeah, that's all valid. Absolutely. You make a good point there. Like they could have just said, you know what? We need to right the ship here. We had an off day. We're just going to continue the rotation. Just let it flip over. We'll worry about this next week. Mm-hmm. If Marco Gonzalez's spot comes up again and you know what we want to do at that point in time. Or they could have just simply said, you know, we'll pen it out. Like Luis and Rowanzi can, maybe we'll find a way for both of them to give us five innings and then we'll just kick it on over to the rest. But they did decide to go with Quinn Priester. So like you said, that's a bit of a vote of confidence. So yeah, that's good. That's a good sign. He just has to also go out there and prove them right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Quinn. Like, I want him to be good. I think we're all on the same page. Like, best case scenario at this point in Quinn Priester's career is he's a back end guy.
Yeah.
I don't know that I see any upside in the bullpen with him because there's just not enough velo there. His one shot's as a starter, and he's got to find out if he can pitch or not. You got to be able to get major league hitters out. To this point, he hasn't. He's got another chance.
Got to maximize your opportunities. You have one in front of you right now.
And you said it, like, it might be his last shot. Those 40-man spots are very precious.
They are. And there's still like other options. Like there is Lauer in the minor leagues. You know, he needs a 40-man spot, but he is an option that they can use, right? That's why they signed him. Domingo Ramon is lingering. You know, like he's not there yet, but he's going to be there soon enough and he becomes an option. So like the thing is too, like, I mean, what's important for the future, of course, is these prospects that are all in double A, right? Like their next step is also triple A soon, but there are guys now-ish for this season that can also become options ahead of Quinn Priester as well. So like, if he doesn't prove it now, they have the ability to turn to those other options and come next year, the other options are their future. So, right. Like that's why the season is so important for Quinn Priester, because you're going to find out if you have a future at all, or of course, if you have a future with the Pirates, because things are thinning out and it might just become time to let's recoup whatever value you have for them. And it's trade season.
Dude, I forgot Domingo Germán existed.
Well, he does. If he can get his visa taken care of.
I straight up forgot that guy existed.
Right.
God, I hope he can't figure that visa out.
53 minutes. We made it, Tyler.
I forgot how much I hated that guy. Still do.
Yeah, well, he does. You know, and the Pirates did sign him. And yeah, he's guaranteed, but they, of course, want to get him here and get him ramped up, and he's an option for depth. So, yeah, and again,
we talked about, like, May as him coming up. Dude can't even get in the country.
Well, he's here. He's in Bradenton. He's at Pirate City.
Yeah, I mean, like, kind of, but yeah. Like,
yeah.
God, what a... Yeah. That's my take.
So yeah, Quinn Priester does make the start tomorrow. I know I'm not on the post game. I don't know who is.
I am.
You are.
Okay. Me and Neil.
You're on the post game. So you get to talk about Quinn. So there's that.
I do.
But yeah, so I'm interested to find out what he's going to do tomorrow. But definitely a big star for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just give us a quality start here, man. That's all you ask at this point. Be able to go out there enough and look to keep the effective. Team in the game. Really, that's it. Like, I think Bucko Mike mentioned in here like 5 innings, 4 runs. That'd be fine, but I need better than that.
Well, the offense needs better than that.
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, 4 runs, it's over. At least that's how it seems right now.
You ain't lying.
It's been 55 minutes. You know, do we want to talk a little bit, just like a little bit about this offense, or are we just going to
we can touch on it real quick.
All right. So besides the fact that it stinks.
Yeah, and I guess I'll just take the lead on it. The three guys I think that we had really hoped to take the step forward this year have been Jack Sawinski, Henry Davis, O'Neill Cruz. I feel like the three of them are really what we depend on for this team to take that step forward. To this point, none have performed. Personally, I think Jack Sawinski is relatively close. I think he will break out and become what he normally is, very frustrating, and he'll be able to get it done. And he's faced so many lefties. I think Cruz is fine. Cruz is fine to me because of so many lefties at this point. Henry Davis, I do have concerns with. At some point, you got to hit, man. He doesn't have an excuse. We're seeing mostly what we saw from him last year. And we're not seeing what we saw out of him in spring training.
Right.
We saw Henry Davis able to keep the ball that was inside. He wasn't pulling a foul. He was able to drive back up the middle. We all know he can't hit opposite field. It's just not in his repertoire. He's got to get going. Henry Davis being a good hitter as a catcher is an absolute difference maker as much as O'Neill Cruz being an electric shortstop is. Those two guys have to be able to hit. Plain and simple, that's really what this team comes down to. We can talk about starting pitching all day. If those two guys don't hit, it doesn't matter. Those are your two difference makers.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And going back to that, you said like how him being drafted was probably the biggest thing. Like they're close because they want to speed this up. You're drafting a guy, but that's why you draft him 1-1 because he was the surest thing. There might be guys with better ceilings, but he was the surest thing. This guy is going to walk on a major league field. He is going to be a major leaguer, and you felt very confident he was going to be a major league hitter. How it comes down to where he's playing, that you could question, but he is going to be a major league hitter. And so far he's been everything but. Well, no, he hasn't been anything else either. He's really just not been anything. Not a good defender. He's been a good human. He's awesome.
He's been a human.
Not doing that.
No, he's been a human. Like, he's been bad. Playing some.
He's a good human. And he hustles. But that's pretty much all we've seen from him.
Yeah. So I think it's in there with him. It's just.
Absolutely.
I do question when these young guys come up and they're not hitting like they possibly could be with this regime. But at some point, players got to play. You got to figure out a way to hit. Henry Davis, we know you're not a great catcher. You got to be able to hit, man. And it's not working at this point. You're hitting at an Austin Hedges level.
Thing is, he's actually hitting twice as good as Austin Hedges. And I only say that just to also put in perspective once again, how bad Austin Hedges was.
God, he sucked. If Henry Davis is twice, oh, good Lord.
To move on from that part, here's what I want to talk about with the offense. And I quote Derek Shelton. I think we got to be more aggressive. We're taking too many balls in the zone for strikes.
No shit. We have some
young hitters, and they get into the fact that they're getting pitched to a little bit. That's their nature, is to wait for the perfect pitch. We don't have to get the perfect pitch. We got to get back to what we were doing earlier in the year. You know what I say to that? Okay, coach. I got blocked for saying that.
You know what? And plain and simple, and I know there's a joke there. They don't swing enough. That's on you, Derek Shelton. You're the guy that kept this hitting coach, who has kept the same approach with this team for as long as it's been there. That's on you. It's your problem. Fix it. And if you don't, get fired.
And I do want to state again.
I'm done with it. I'm done with the excuses of it. How long do we have to do this? Hit the baseball. Get right. Better. Stop complaining about it. Fire the guy that you brought in that is giving these guys this approach, because you're not getting better doing so.
Mm-hmm. No, you're good. You're good. I don't hate the amount of pitches they take. I don't hate like that strategy. You also need guys that can do it. You know, like I have faith in a Juan Soto to do that. I don't know if I have faith in a O'Neill Cruz to do that. But regardless of all that, you know, again, like the biggest thing to me is like the game by game adjustments and such. And it's just been very exposed this past week. And you talk, like, as we talk about Jared Jones, about the league catching up, making adjustments, like the league see what the Pirates are doing this past few weeks and say, all right, well, you know what? If they're not going to swing, we're just going to throw them strikes. And it's kind of what they've been doing. We're just going to Jared Jones you because you're not going to swing anyway. We don't need the swing and miss stuff because we can get you all out caught looking.
At the end of the day, it's the same conversation we had last year. Like, this approach works good for Connor Joe. It worked good for Andrew McCutchen. It's working good for Connor Joe again. Cutch is starting to come back around. Your veterans seem to be okay other than Rowdy. I can tell a team to take more pitches. I'm not paid millions to do it. Be better at your job. Andy Haynes has not been good at his job. I'm sorry. It's everything goes to the hitting coach. I get that. It's same as football. It goes to the offensive coordinator. We're going to blame him no matter what. At some point, when it isn't working year after year after year, and you're not getting improvement from your young guys, something's got to change here. You're not individualizing your approach enough, which was supposed to be the calling card of this entire organization. It's not working.
When the rebuild, the new regime, more or less, we knew a rebuild was coming. But when the new regime came in, that's all we heard. No more one-size-fits-all approach.
We're back to it.
And even to the, like, even with the pitching, it is. There is a lot of that too. It's been effective so far right now, but there's a lot of that to the pitching again still.
There is.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, pitching wise, they have acquired guys that fit that mold.
Correct.
Hitting wise, they had guys that, and they've drafted guys that don't. You're missing the boat here. Like, you guys have screwed up your hitters again. Because at some point, when every single hitter is just not working out, that's a you problem. That's not a player problem.
Right. And it's funny, like, you do say that. You know, think about it. Like, the guys they've signed in the offseason, and I could be generalizing this, but like most of them fit that approach. And there's going to be like one-offs, right? Like Michael A. Taylor doesn't fit that approach, but like that's a one-off. He's there for the defense and such too, right? But like your Rowdies, your
Vogelbach. Like
Vogelbach, Connor right? Joe. Like Connor Joe. Like the guys they've acquired in the offseason, I've seen it. But then the guys you've drafted, the guys you've traded for, yeah, they're not really that profile. Like, so your future really isn't, but like your we need you for nows are. So that is kind of that's interesting.
No, and there's no differential between what we're teaching these, or not even teaching, because they're the Daniel Vogelbachs, the Rowdy Tellez. It feels like they're teaching McCutchen. They're telling them to take more pitches, on base guys. But you're also doing that with your younger guys who aren't that way. Do what you're doing with Paul Skeens. Let them be them. Let O'Neill Cruz strike out as much as he is now, but let him swing it. And we'll figure it out and adjust from there.
Cool, cool. Well, hey, we made it 53 minutes in.
Yeah.
Until we had our first real negative comment.
Yeah.
And hey, bad. The last part here, we have to talk about the offense. It has been good. I think it's all fair assessments right now. And again, like they recognize it. They're even talking about this. Is Derek Shelton blocked by Kutch on Twitter? I don't know. He should. Keep it 100, Kutch. No, again, it's all fair. But at the end of the day, they're still 11-8, right? They're still in a good situation. The sky isn't falling. There's still talent here. And again, like the best might still be coming. Yeah. So tomorrow we'll have the post game. Hopefully there's sandwiches and everything will be back to normal again. Everything's fine. Nothing but good vibes. So any last words, Ty?
Only this last comment of the of Mark that said he switched the Fruit of the Loom because of Haynes. That's fantastic.
There you go.
That is awesome. Aside from that, I have nothing else to say. That's a comment I'm good with ending on.
We will end on that. So we will be back tomorrow. Thanks to everyone for joining. Appreciate you. And bye-bye.
Peace out, Scouts.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can. And we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot. But if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go, Bucks.